But all right, so for this week, a lot of times we watch old TV shows on this here podcast, but I recently took a train to Busan from Seoul, and it's one of those like slightly, no, I'm not going to say annoying, just slightly awkward things where it's so hard to tell anybody what I'm up to. Like, hey, where are you at on your travels these days? Like, there's no way to not say I took a train to Busan. But then there's also no way for people my age to not make a joke about like, oh, I'm trained in Busan, did you have to fight zombies? Because there's a very famous South Korean movie called Train to Busan, where, as my understanding is, they fight zombies. But I didn't actually look it up yet. You know, I usually look up some details and some trivia or information about stuff. But since I don't really know beyond that basic premise what happens in this movie, I thought this would be a good case of, let's just jump in. Let's just watch it. And then at the end, I'll see what I can dig up that's like interesting information about it. But yeah, in tribute to me taking a train to Busan and being in Busan right now, that's the plan this week, Train to Busan. First off, though, I guess, yeah, just before we watch the slick, highly produced action film about Train to Busan, this was the only, I was digging through my phone and I'm like, oh, I did take a video while I was on the Train to Busan. So I can show you what the real experience looks like. For anyone who's just listening to the audio, just imagine the view out the window of a train, slightly crooked because I put my phone down the wrong way, so it's not quite flat. But I just kept seeing cherry blossom trees on the way by. I just happened to be going at the perfect time of year to see cherry blossoms, which I'd never seen before. And, you know, they're pretty nice. They don't last very long. Kind of a cool thing. So, you know, that's all. I just thought since I had that, it's kind of appropriate of there's the real deal. There's the real train to Busan. And I think if I remember right, they have three types of trains. There's the old-timey slow ones. Then there's the brand new super fast ones, KTX, I think they're called. I was on the middle train. So I'm assuming in the movie it's going to be the brand new super fast cool train. But yeah, I mean, I guess there's not much to say necessarily, right? I guess we do just need to jump in. There's only so much we can say before we've seen this thing, so.
안 보여. 또 돼지들 싹 잡아다 파묻는겨. 아이, 그 부재역이 아니고요. 아, 그 요 앞에 그 바이오단지에서 뭐가 찔끔 그 샜다고 이러네. 아, 별거 아니에요. 아, 쩝대도 그러더만.
Where's the ending? Boy. No, I mean, when I mean okay. Quick ending, they didn't have a big dramatic, we were saved and all that. It just ended.
Yeah, I guess I'll say right away for anyone listening, spoilers for Train to Busan, but also spoilers for Night of the Living Dead. Let's hop right in at the end. Do you remember, probably been a while since you've seen the original Night of the Living Dead, but do you remember how that movie ended?
Yeah, they killed the guy at the end and burned the building, didn't they?
Yeah, one of the most frustrating endings of all time that, the dude survived through the night, the black guy. And then, you know, I mean, you can argue it's a statement on racial relations in America and whatnot. But from a pure movie-going standpoint, God, what a frustrating ending that, fucking he makes it all the way through. He makes it all the way to the end of the night just so some fucking rednecks the next day can kill him.
Wasn't it the military at the end? It's not just rednecks. It's the actual military are at that site. And it is a statement on the 1960s where there was a lot of, anything you didn't understand, you just did it. That was in the middle of the Cold War. That movie is a statement on all of that. And of course, the guy that they do in is a black fella. And yeah, that's kind of the story of the United States' treatments of its blacks.
Well, that's a good place to start. Yeah, we can talk about zombie metaphors. I took some various notes as we watched that. But yeah, because obviously, you know, that is one of those things, as a viewer, frustrating ending to the original Night of the Living Dead. But obviously, yeah, like it's a clever ending. It's got something to say. And that's kind of carried forward with zombie movies. And I think that's kind of neat, just a top line, you know, to take this big. I think it's kind of neat that different cultures have different, you know, zombies are always a metaphor for something. And this one, it's neat that it's different. Like, I think the most famous American one is the second Romero movie, Dawn of the Dead, where all of the zombies congregate at the mall because they just vaguely remember it from when they were alive, and they just slowly trudge around the mall, you know, and it's like obviously a consumerism, you know, thing. It's talking about, you know, just mall zombies, the same as you were in life, now you are in death.
Yeah. And Dawn of the Dead is more like a satire, whereas Night of the Living Dead, you know, kind of had a serious message to it. Like, I mean, yes, it's zombies, but it works on any number of levels. Whereas Dawn of the Dead to me was more, yeah, like satire. Hey, we're a culture that loves to shop, and even when we're zombified, we still like to be at that place.
And then it's kind of neat how in this case, the idea of Asian zombies, I mean, I think, you know, there's so many movies now, just movies in general, but even zombie movies, there's so many that if you can stand out in any way, you know, it's a good step. Like, just if there's an image that's indelible in your movie that people will remember, that's kind of a win at this point, because, you know, we've all seen 100 zombie movies. And I do think this movie pulled that off in the zombie flood. Like those times throughout the movie when zombies would pile up against windows and then the pure weight of them would break through. And it was literally like just like water, just these bodies flowing through. And then at the end, when they're all chasing them, it's like a tidal wave, you know, and it's like very clear imagery that wouldn't even occur to you in North America as much. But that's just life in Asia. Like right now I'm in Busan and I'm in one of these share houses that I've been staying at the whole time, where it's like 30 rooms in one floor of a building. It's all packed in. And in the subway, it's all packed in. And just everywhere you go, it's all packed in. And I like that that's the metaphor they carry into zombies, is it's just the flood of people that, like, it's not this like, oh, the zombies are eventually going to get you. Like in North American movies, this one is like, they're going to get you right now. You're going to drown in zombies.
And it takes the zombies no time at all to transform. They get bitten and it's like a matter of minutes and they convert. And they did well, like having the sheer numbers of people that they had there, and they in the train yard at the end with the collisions and the trains turning over and blocking rails and everything. It was like, you can imagine that happening, and so many people. Of course, there'd be all those people at a train yard, a passenger rail line. But I like the ending with that one was so quick. It could have gone either way. They could have shot them and it ended right there, which would have been another Dawn of the Dead. Or not Dawn of the Dead, the other one.
Night of the Living Dead.
Night of the Living Dead. But they didn't. I mean, if that little girl hadn't been singing, those military had already been given the order to shoot them. And if she just hadn't started to sing a song, which we heard earlier in the show, to tie it in, they would have done them in.
Yeah, and I think even though it's a slightly schmaltzy ending, I do find Asian cinema is pretty heavy-handed with that stuff too. You know, like the dad right before he turns when he's, you know, remembering back to his daughter being young and, you know, his beautiful last moments. And then he heroically sacrifices himself so that he won't be near them when he turns into a zombie. Like, you know, they're pretty heavy handed with that type of stuff in Asian cinema, especially. It feels kind of like how our movies used to feel, you know, 30 years ago. But I don't mind it because literally everyone else died. I think it's okay that a couple of people made it. That's not asking too much. You know?
They didn't spend a whole lot of time dwelling on that. Like his memories of the birth of his child were, that took maybe, what, 30 seconds? It was very short. Some movies would dwell on that and just hammer it home and just keep going at it and going at it. This movie didn't do that. This movie just barely quickly introduced you to those thoughts and then finished them off and moved on.
Yeah, that's true. I might be overstating it a bit because, yeah, even though I have noticed that in other Asian movies where I do feel like it's a little schmaltzy, a little heavy-handed. But yeah, I guess this one, not too bad, because also all the way up to this point, it's been, if anything, pretty dedicated to the idea of like the realism of the situation. You know, like the guy who ran the train, who was kind of the last boss, who ended up being the ultimate villain, right from the get-go, he's saying stuff like, yeah, look at this homeless guy, you know, go to school, kid, you'll end up like this guy. you know, like society doesn't have time for you to dick around. And then as things start to go wrong, many different characters talk about, you know, like, this is not the time to think about other people or to care about other people. You got to do what you got to do to make it through this. And yeah, like, it's quite a like level-headed, like, even the bad guys in this movie, they're bad guys. They're definitely jerks, but you can kind of understand when you're under that kind of pressure and you think you're going to die, then yeah, push the other guy in front of the zombies if it means you're going to get away. Like, we all like to think we wouldn't do that, but who the heck knows, man? Maybe we would.
And our main man, their main villain at the end, before they did him in, of course, they didn't just, he didn't just turn. He had those few moments of his last moments as a human, and he was talking about needing to get home to his family. He had people that he had to take care of, and that related you to our main hero, who, of course, was trying to get his daughter home to her mother. And so, you know, they threw that little bit of humanity in for him, even though he was such a creep, that villain. You know, he was throwing people in front of zombies and telling people to get off the train and get out because they had all turned. And you thought, ah, what a prick he is. But then at the end, they threw that little bit of humanity in for him to explain his reasons for being such a prick. But again, they didn't dwell on it. It was all happened in about 5 seconds.
Yeah, I guess that would be the overall thing, is especially if you take it. I mean, obviously, Dawn of the Dead was way back. It was like 1978. But if you take the two things side by side, Dawn of the Dead is the very slow movie, slow zombies. Even when the guy in that movie gets bit, it's a matter of days. You know, he's like talking to them. It's like, hey, don't kill me right away. I'm going to try not to come back. You know, it's this protracted sequence where everything in this movie happens way, way faster. And that is how North American zombie movies have gotten. You know, it was kind of a, it's like a debate amongst nerds, like when they remade Dawn of the Dead and the zombies could run. And it's like, is that okay for zombies to run? Is this appropriate? Blah, blah, blah. But I guess what's neat about this movie is all of the speed. There's no question about it. It just, it really does mirror Asian culture, and specifically probably the super stresses of living in Korea. Of like, yeah, why wouldn't it be fast? It would be weird for them to make a slow zombie movie. These zombies are quick. They turn quick. You turn quick. It's all just quick. We don't have time here, you know.
Even the transportation, the mode of transportation, they're just not on a regular train, except at the end when they're on that working train. Up to that point, they're on those bullet trains. Everything's just moving fast, fast, fast. The zombies are moving fast. There's not a slow zombie in that damn place. I mean, when those zombies run along that train track at the end, like, they're really moving. And there is a number of them. And, you know, my response when I first saw them was, holy shit, look at the numbers of them. Good. How would you ever get away from that many? It's like a plague. It's like a, it's like when a, you know, a thousand mosquitoes come at you all at once. And you're like, how do I get rid of them? I just can't. I can hit them and bat them away, but I'll never see the end of this. It was quite exciting. Good movie.
Yeah, that's neat too, the idea of just kind of using what you have available to you, where, you know, again, let's just go back to Dawn of the Dead, because it's kind of the king of all zombie movies, that they set it in a mall partially because there's just a lot of malls in America. That one, the Monroeville Mall, was just willing to let them film there all night. So it's like, all right, we'll make a movie in a mall. Or I knew a guy who made a low-budget horror movie, and like, he had a scene at a gas station. And when somebody asked him, like, what's with the scene at the gas station? He's like, well, it's because my friend has a gas station, you know, like, practical reasons. And it's kind of like that here, too, is like one of the most famous things about Korea are its trains. Those KTX trains are, like, I'd say probably more famous than the Japanese bullet trains, because the KTX ones are just more accessible and affordable, and you can take them day to day. And it's not even like a special thing. It's just how they get around. And they have them all over the country, and they're so available that, yeah, let's make a movie at some of the lesser, less busy stations. They'll let us film there. What do we got? We got trains. We got a lot of people. Like, let's do it. This is the movie we're going to make.
The other thing I thought was good about it, I mean, we were watching a zombie movie, so we don't need to have a whole lot of introduction to characters. We were introduced to the characters, but what we found out about those people was not like long emotional scenes of introduction. It was at various points we saw little bits of them, which developed the character throughout the movie. We didn't see it. You know how sometimes you're watching something, you see the action-packed beginning, and then you see this long introduction of introducing characters, and we find out what their motive is and who their relationships are and all this sort of thing. This movie didn't do that. This movie just very quickly would give us little snippets of people's introduction of who they were. By the end of the movie, we had quite a good picture of who they were, but it wasn't because it was kind of put at us and again, oh, let me tell you who this person is and let me tell you so that you can like them and emote with them. And they didn't do any of that. But we got to know the characters and like them at the end anyway. And the acting was excellent in this thing. That little girl, when she's screaming at the end, you know, for her father, what a good little actress.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, how much, you know, you really can just kind of make a role more than it could have been. Because the guy who is the husband of the pregnant lady who, you know, both of us said, like, who is that guy? Like, he feels familiar. Just feels like we know him from stuff. But I looked up his filmography and he's not in anything that we've seen. But he did apparently get famous because of this movie. He used to be like a martial artist guy and an arm wrestler. And yeah, just if you just do good enough at a role, instead of just being yet another guy in a zombie movie, you know, he like, boom, took off, got famous. And it's like, yeah, well, he kind of deserves it. He did a good job.
You don't need to have characters so developed that because really in real life, let's say you were on that train and those things were happening, you really wouldn't know a whole lot about the people that were on that train. You wouldn't know a lot about their backgrounds and their relationships. You wouldn't know any of that stuff. They would just be somebody that you're traveling with for a short time in your life, on your path of life. And so, yeah, you wouldn't need to know a whole lot about them. I don't know that doing a huge amount of character development in a show like that is necessary, because what you're watching is you're watching it to watch a zombie movie.
Yeah. And even, I mean, the characters were definitely, you know, archetypal. They are kind of following the mold, but again, especially with a horror movie, that's fine. But I did especially like with the dad, you know, standard 90s movie dad from America, you'd say it's like, oh, he's overworked and he never has time for his kids. But it was such a good, quick little way to illustrate that it's his kid's birthday, so he buys them the cool toy, which is the Nintendo Wii at this point. And the kid already has one. You got me that last year. Like, that's such a... Because you often see, or we've all probably experienced in real life, like, you know, you didn't quite get the thing you wanted for your birthday, but I've never quite seen that one, that, like, you literally got them that exact thing the year before. That was good.
But that was just to kind of feed into you the idea that sometimes people think that the kid wanted stuff, but the kid didn't want stuff. The kid wanted time with her father. She didn't want all that stuff. She already had it. Her room was full of that kind of junk.
But I did like, too, that, I mean, obviously the dad kind of starts off as quite a dick, you know, but as it goes on, he becomes more of a hero. But they still kind of threw him a bone, too, you know, of just like there is some acknowledgement that he's not just working because he loves to work. He's working because he does have to support this family. And again, especially in Korean culture, like I've been watching things lately since I've been here and researching a bit, like the highest suicide rate in the world is South Korea. This place, like the way I heard it described, is there's no redemption arc here. If you fuck up, that's it for you. You're not coming back in society's eyes. You know, you just cannot. In a way, it's like they embraced the most harsh parts of Western and Eastern society. They took the harshest parts of capitalism and of wanting to own things and of the beauty standard, and they took the harshest side of like Confucianism, of like, don't mess up or we're kicking you off the team. You know, you gotta heave ho for your whole life and never stop. So I mean, what's he supposed to do? It doesn't matter if he wants to hang out with this kid, you know, you just, especially in South Korea, that's not how it works. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting in that way, too, of like, because we've had that character in a million American movies, but America always takes the tack of like, he always learns the lesson at the end of like, yeah, work's not that important. Family's what's important. And there's no, it's not clear at all that he learned that lesson in this movie, because maybe that's not how it works in South Korea.
an interesting point that we talked about the speed of this show. Really, when I'm thinking back of it, the only slow part was at the end when the little girl and the pregnant gal leave the train, and they are walking very, very slowly up that track. And you saw all this devastation around them. And I just had this image of what it must have been like for, okay, I'm thinking of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, but it could be any bombed out city where you've had such terrible devastation and you're just a couple of survivors walking among those ruins, like never not knowing what's at the end of the road or what's at the end of the track. So, I like that ending. I thought it was a good contrast with all of the speed that we had seen up to that point.
And even I do like, too, how they do sort of, I think there's a lot of moments in this movie that are pulling at your heartstrings or trying to make you feel a certain way. Or like right before all those jerks on the train got eaten by zombies, you know, they were really acting like assholes. Get out of here. We think you're infected. Like, they definitely set you up to knock you down. Like, we want you to be annoyed by these people, but then we want you to feel kind of happy that they all got killed. And it's similar here, where you feel, like, annoyed at the military that they're about to shoot two survivors. But on the other hand, if Busan is the only city in the whole freaking country that they've managed to secure and that isn't taken over by zombies, which does seem like, from the news reports and stuff, very likely... yeah, maybe you do just have to shoot everyone that you see, you know? Like, I think they did a pretty good job of, like, no one's really like the boogeyman. There's, like, some reason for why everyone is acting how they're acting.
Well, I give it a thumbs up. I thought it was one of the best zombie movies that I've seen.
Yeah, and that seems to be the kind of, I did do some research about it, and as far as trivia and stuff, I didn't find a whole ton. There's not a ton about it, but it just... made a ton of money. It was the most, I think 11 million people here in Korea went to see it the year it came out, 2016. It was the highest grossing movie of the year. And then it broke through really well to the Western world. You know, like I was saying to you, that's the whole reason I know this movie is because I couldn't tell anybody I know that I was going to Busan on a train without this movie coming up. Everybody knows this movie and everyone but me had seen it. So I'm glad that I finally saw it. Yeah, and as far as I can tell, the guy who made it, he did some animated stuff before this, and this is his first real movie, and then he did do a sequel that is not as well regarded, but basically, yeah, just a success. So I suppose we could just do that with our overall thoughts, but I was taking little notes as we went through, so you want to just go through my little chronological notes of just little thoughts that came to me as I watched that movie? So the first thing is, one of the greatest shocks to me coming to visit South Korea, I was in Japan and then, you know, South Korea is right here, so why not? So I went to Seoul in January and, you know, now that I'm here, I realize I should have known about this. Everyone else knows about this, but I didn't know about this, that there's a huge pollution problem in South Korea and in the winter, it's real bad. And I was wondering if they were going to cover that up because... certainly in K-pop videos and romantic comedies and stuff, they certainly don't dwell on that, you know. But I was glad to see, maybe because it's appropriate to the horror setting, the very first scene of this movie where they're showing the breach at the military and the pig farmers, like, you military jerks, stay off my land. It's polluted as fuck in that scene. And I was like, there you go. That's the real Korea. That's how it looks. And again, I'm sure they only did it because it's a horror movie. But I was glad that they at least, didn't hide it.
So you've got the environmental pollution and then you end up with the human pollution in the form of a bunch of zombies.
Yeah.
There's some symbolism in there.
And I liked in that scene, too, that's where we first see a deer coming back to life. So that's one thing, too. Apparently this thing is so bad, it doesn't just get humans. That's what, apparently the sequel like takes place a few years into the future when Korea is just fucked. and yeah, I guess if it's bringing deer back to life and everything, like, yeah, that would be a real bad situation. But it was really cool how the deer came back to life. And it's similar to how the people did, where it's just laying there dead, but then it like sort of spasms onto its back and then just flips up. And that's, I guess that's one thing I'll bring up is I liked the way that they did use computer graphics in this movie, but you could tell it was pretty sparing. You know, like a lot of it was because North American movies, we've gotten to the point where apparently if you use like, you know, even just fake blood, blood pellets and, you know, spraying fake blood on people, then if you got to shoot the scene again, you got to clean up the whole set. So I understand that that's a pain in the ass, but we've gotten to the point that we use computer blood and it's just too much. Like you can just tell that you're looking at computer stuff. And I thought it seemed cool in this movie that they, you know, the smoke was obviously computers and the blood splatter might have been computers. And when some of the people were spilling out of windows, some of that was clearly computers. But mostly it's just people dressed up like zombies flinging themselves around like maniacs. And you could really tell that they were really doing that stuff.
And they didn't overdo blood splatter. Like sometimes you're looking at some of these newer type movies that are computer generated, and I mean and maybe blood splatter really is like that. I can't really say I've ever seen somebody being bludgeoned to death and how far blood splatter goes. Apparently it goes quite far, but some of the stuff that you're watching, it's just like too intense. It's like, good God, just one slash of the knife and there's no way that person would have an ounce of blood left in them.
The other thing that stood out to me right away is when we're first introduced to the dad at work, he's eating Burger King. And, you know, obviously it's a corporate placement or whatever. In our movies, it'd probably be Subway sandwiches or something. But it's very appropriate because I've been to Burger King so many times, more times than I've ever been in my life since I got here. Because sometimes, you know, I just, you know, I'm a North American. I just don't want to figure out what I'm doing, how to get stuff, you know, what to eat, even at convenience stores and stuff. Convenience stores in Japan are very delightful and fun. Convenience stores in South Korea, no offense, South Korea, but they're difficult. It's like, what am I?
Burger King must have been a sponsor because now that I remember that, I that's the first thing I said is, hey, that guy's got Burger King. And you said, yeah, they're everywhere.
Tons of Burger Kings. There's one across the street from here. But why I'm bringing it up too is there's this song that plays in the Burger Kings here that apparently it was an old advertising jingle from, I think, the early 80s, maybe, but it's still going here. And the first time I heard it, I thought it was so ridiculous because it's like this honky-tonk sounding American guy singing. And the song goes, "This is a Burger King town. It's what a burger should be. This is a Burger King town." And I was like sitting in the Burger King and I took my headphones out and I'm like, am I really hearing that? Is that what they think? Like, because we're in Burger King, we're in America Town. It's like the worst song in the world. But if anyone's ever been to a Burger King in South Korea, you know what I'm talking about. That thing plays like every 15 minutes. And it's the most ridiculous song I ever heard. But speaking of North American franchises, apparently they did not actually film this at Seoul Station. It's just that all the stations look quite uniform here. Because when I saw Seoul Station in the movie, I'm like, oh, yeah, I've been there. Like, I thought it really was Seoul Station because it looks so similar. But I just want to mention that, too, because if there's any Canadians visiting Seoul, if you start to feel homesick, across the street from Seoul Station is a Tim Hortons. And it blew my fucking mind when I saw that because I had no idea Tim Hortons had made it to South Korea. And, you know, it's certainly not famous like Burger King. I only saw two of them, but it's there. If you need some Tim Hortons, there you go. That's where you go. Across the street from Seoul Station. And then when they stopped Midway, again, because I think it's just kind of a uniform station design at every city, so that Midway city really reminded me of the train station in Jecheon, which is another city I visited. And it made it extra creepy because, yeah, it's very easy to imagine. Like, I used to go to that station because to get across town, because it's a big train yard, you had to cut through the station. So I'd stop in the station and I'd use the washroom or buy a coffee. And I was in that station quite a bit. And it's like, oh yeah, geez, now there's zombies, you know, it was pretty cool. And I saw, it's again, I'm a very shallow traveler, obviously going to Burger King and stuff. But one of my favorite things about South Korea is they have these coffee machines in the subway stations and the train stations where it's only 50 cents for a little Dixie cup of coffee. Because I think it's the idea is if you're just waiting for the next train, you only have a minute or two. You might not have time for a big coffee. But it's perfect for me because I have a tiny bladder, but I love coffee. So I love those 50 cent coffee machines. And I saw a couple of them in this movie. So I don't know that anyone in the world cared about that except me. But I was excited. I was like, oh, there it is, the little coffee machine. And also, they knew the term zombie. Just bring that up because that's a big debate in North American stuff. Are we living in a world where they have zombie movies, or have they never heard of them before? Like, kind of the silliest example is that show The Walking Dead. They always call them walkers. Oh, no, he's going to become a walker. And it's like, just say zombie. What's wrong with you? So I like that they know what a zombie is in this.
I bet there are most cultures in the world, though, may not know them as zombies or walkers or whatever, but they believe in this, an afterlife, or that evil can't just quietly go off to the other world or whatever, if there is such a place. I think that if you look into most cultures and you go way, way back, you'd find these spiritual beings that are evil, man-eaters or scary. I bet you'd find it in almost every culture. If you looked into their history, you'd find some of that, something that is like a zombie.
Yeah, it's weird sometimes, too, where I don't know as much about South Korean culture, but in Japan, like, some of the stuff is so weird. Like, if you saw a Japanese vampire, you would never recognize it in a million years. They wear these, like, flowing, almost like Arabian-type clothes, and these fancy hats, almost like a Pope hat, and they almost always have, it's like a this piece of paper hanging over their face with a symbol on it that I believe is supposed to be like something that a Buddhist priest did to try to subdue the zombie, but they all have them. And they jump, they hop around. And it's like, nothing about this is like our vampires, but that's how a Japanese vampire is. And it's just like, yeah, just, I don't know that that relates to this at all, but it just made me think of it. I guess I did, especially, like, I'll just skip ahead a little bit, just, you know, but early on, when before the dad has become heroic, when he's just kind of a dick, I especially like the part where early on passengers are running away from zombies and there's the pregnant lady and he shuts the door on the pregnant lady. Like, that's such a perfect, like, this guy at this point is not a hero. He's a total dick. And like, there's not much worse you can do than shut the door on a pregnant lady.
Did our hero do that?
Because then the cool guy, the arm wrestler guy, once, you know, they do get in and he's like, hey, buddy, I think you owe us an apology.
Like, oh, how was that? Yes, that's true. Like, yeah.
Like, it was when people were still trying to be polite to each other with this guy. I guess we'll just jump to the end and say that I did really like that carpet of zombies. Like, as the zombies were chasing after their final train, and one guy grabs on and the next zombie grabs onto that guy's ankle. And next thing you know, it is just like this, like a fishing net of zombies. There's like 40 zombies all holding on to the back of this train. And it's cool because on the one hand, it's like an over the top, a little bit ridiculous image. But if you're just a mindless zombie who doesn't get tired and doesn't care that you're scraping your face on the ground, like, yeah, that made sense. They would totally do that.
And then how they started, others were coming along and climbing on that carpet. They were using it as a, like a ladder to get up onto the train. That, because they could have just stopped with them grabbing onto each other and being like this carpet being dragged along by the train. But no, those zombies were pretty friggin', they're pretty active. And that's what I liked about them. I liked the speed with which they moved. You do get kind of tired of these zombies walking around, you know, with the stilted legs, and they've got a pace that is like, well, it's slow down speed. It's as if they're running on a slow treadmill. I mean, this one, those guys, they moved.
Oh, it was neat too, yeah, because I guess every zombie also, there's always slightly different rules to each different thing. It was kind of neat that these ones, the way they worked is visually. Well, I guess from sound as well. If they heard a sound, they would go after it. But if they saw someone, they would run after them. But they were so, like, simple that all they had to do was put newspaper over the window between the doors, and the zombies immediately, like, have no object permanence. Like, they don't realize there's someone behind that. As soon as they can't see you, then they just calm down right away. And it was neat how they used that with the tunnels, because there's like just an insane number of mountains in Korea. It's the most mountainous place I've ever been, easily. and it makes Japan look flat. So the trains are going through tunnels all the time, and it's neat how they used that in this movie, that it's like, you got a couple minutes while you're in this tunnel when the zombies are kind of like not at full power. They're a lot easier to get by, which was a nice counterbalance, because when you're so packed in on a train, you know, it's way worse than being in a mall or a city, like where you have options. Like, you have no options in this train. So that was a good way to counterbalance the zombies and to make it somewhat realistic that you actually could progress through the train and not just get torn apart immediately.
That's funny. You mentioned that newspaper over the glass. They only used that once, but yet it worked. You'd think that at other times throughout that movie, you know, when they were being traumatized by what they could see was going on in the car in back of them, where all these zombies were slamming at the glass and chomping at the bit and spitting and everything else, you think they would have taken off their jacket or something and put it over the glass.
Yeah, well, I'm even thinking you could take it further, where there was this old video game where you only got in trouble for stealing from a store if the store owner could, you know, was in your line of sight, could see you stealing. And somebody figured out that if you just put a bucket on the store owner's head, because he couldn't see through the bucket, you could steal everything from the store.
Yeah.
So it's like, what if they did that here? I mean, they probably wouldn't have buckets, but I bet they have sleep masks or something, you know, on the train. If you could get those on the zombie and cover their eyes, would they just stand still and not know what's going on? You know, that would have been my technique. Although getting that close to the zombie is asking to die, but that's what I would have tried to do.
Yeah, that would have been a little tricky. But yeah, taking off the seat covers maybe there aren't seat covers though in the train. But if you could take off something and as they're coming at you, throw it at them, like throw it over them. Take some luggage if you had something like a sweater or something and throw it over their head, like what would happen?
Yeah, and that's interesting too, where I don't know what happens in the sequel or how that works 4 years down the road. But maybe it turns into like a nighttime society, you know, if it's way safer to go out at night because the zombies can't see you as well. It's like a reverse vampire situation. Maybe that's how it is.
But then, that's doing too much overthink here. I mean, that you're not supposed to take that movie and say, well, what if? Well, what if? What if? It's a zombie movie done for entertainment, and it did a good job.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one reason, too, why it's nice to see a zombie movie in another culture's take on zombies, because you can kind of rewind the clock a bit, because man, I mean, if you kept up with zombie stuff in North America, it's so deep up its own butt at this point, because it's been 40 years of zombie movies, 50 years. So we literally do have movies like that where they just deal with every little detail and every little thing. And it's, you know, it's interesting in a way, but in another way, it's like, can we just get back to zombies, please? But then my last little note is just, I thought it was kind of funny. It wasn't intended to be, but at the end, when the dad is turning into a zombie and the kid is just freaking out and screaming, oh no, dad. But then as he turns into a zombie more and more, that the sound of screaming fades away and turns into nice lilting piano music. And it was almost like he's like, ah, how nice. I can't hear my yapping kid anymore.
I don't think how that wonderful. Was what the intention was to be.
Yeah, no, not at all. But that's kind of how it seemed. Oh, yeah. And I guess what I was saying earlier about, you know, American zombie movies versus the Korean take on zombies or the Asian take. Let me just finish off with this one last thing, because I don't have a Canadian example, because if there are any Canadian zombie movies, I've never seen them and they're certainly not famous. But what I do have, me and my friends, we started writing a zombie movie back in the day. I've still got all the notes in case the Canadian Arts Council ever wants to make a Canadian zombie movie. Hit me up. I'm all set. But I think this is telling, too, about how every culture, you know, metaphorizes itself through zombies. Because the idea we had was it was called Frostbite. And the story was that it's springtime and the snow is starting to thaw in a zombie-infested world. And these people who live in a cabin, this family in a cabin, they were pretty much okay during the winter because all the zombies froze. But now it's thawing. And now the thawed-out zombies are coming to kill them. And I mean, I can't think of a more Canadian thing that could ever happen. But that's where our minds went, because that's, you know, in Canada, we got snow.
That could be kind of interesting.
And then I guess, I mean, the original zombies from Haiti, it was, you know, like voodoo. It was the voodoo power of people turning into zombies. And yeah, I just think zombies really are kind of the best for that. If you just want to do a horror metaphor for your own society, what's better than zombies? And I mean, yeah, this holds that to be true. If you want to have a metaphor for South Korea, here you go. Train to Busan.
Well, I'm glad you introduced me to it. I very much enjoyed it. I thought it was excellent.
And yeah, anyone listening too, by the way, feel free to steal my Frostbite idea. I don't care. I don't mind. Go ahead. We need at least one Canadian zombie movie, for God's sake. We got to get our stuff together. How come we don't have a zombie movie? But yeah, also just kind of neat, since I am here, you know? And that was kind of creepy too, even just when they're on the radio and they're just like, what's it like there? Is it okay? Is Busan safe? And it's just kind of eerie because it's like, ooh, I'm there right now. Like, you start to think that a little bit. Like, what if I went outside and it was zombies?